Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, October the 11th. And today we're going to be chatting with my friend Bob Parks. Bob, of course, has been on our show before. He's a conservative spokesman, someone who we appreciate a great deal as a voice of information, the kind of guest that we like to have on our show. And we're going to talk about the Kavanaugh effect, but specifically what happens when men are victims or men are victims of, let's say, false accusations, and what impact that has on not just their families or their jobs, but their careers going down the road. The idea that, you know, something like this goes in your record and then it could affect your opportunity 10 years later or whatever to get a job. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the overall Kavanaugh effect as well, the whole idea of due process that somehow that got lost. You know, as everybody knows, I came to the United States when I was a kid, and one of the reasons that my parents brought us here was because of what this country meant. And one of the things that distinguishes the United States from most of the world is due process. This is a country where due process is a serious matter. Well, we lost that a little bit here over the last couple of weeks, where accusations were made, 36-year-old accusations without any evidence, without any corroboration were made, and you've got people in the streets marching saying, "We believe her."
Hi.
Did I lose you?
I'm back.
Oh, okay. There you are. Okay. I said, hello, Bob. How you been?
Oh, it went dark for a sec, but
I'm
back. Thanks.
Great. Well, how are you?
Very good, thanks. How are you today?
Just great. Super beautiful autumn or early autumn day here in Texas. So we're not complaining when the weather is not 100 degrees. You know, we like it when it's 54 in the morning. We kind of like mornings like that after our summers. Well, Bob, I know we've had you on the show many times, but I always assume there may be somebody new listening who doesn't know about you. So just give us a quick biography of Bob Parks, please.
Well, let's see. Really quick, I'm a Navy veteran. I studied journalism and graphic design in Boston prior to joining the Navy. I worked for Fox Broadcasting in Hollywood as a graphic designer back in the 90s. Moved to Massachusetts in the early 2000s, started a TV show and created. I wrote, edited, and did all the graphics for my own television show. Probably one of the few pundits that have done it all. And the show was unique because it was done in a totally blue area of the country in Massachusetts. I was not speaking to the choir. It's very easy when you see a lot of these people who go online and they do their rant videos and they're basically preaching to the choir. I did not have that luxury. And so my job was to counter, was to inform, was to push back. And there were very few pats on the back. If anything, it was all about to counter narratives that were coming into the station. I was the only person who was doing any kind of conservative programming, political conservative programming. That program caught the eyes of the Media Research Center here in Virginia. So I moved here. My job was to create a video department. So in 2010. MRC TV went online. That was my creation. I ran MRC TV for the first 4 years and left, fired, however you want to put it. That's another story for another day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can tie what has happened since to the discussion we're going to have later about the ramifications of things that come back to haunt you from your past.
Right. Very good. Well, let me give you a couple of minutes to react to Kanye West and Jim Brown. Now, Jim Brown, I love, of course. Who doesn't love Jim Brown? NFL. I still think he's probably the greatest running back ever. But anyway, it was just he's just a great guy. I have followed him, and I have a lot of respect for Jim Brown. But Kanye West is a fairly new personality to me. I really don't know that much about him, but he's now become all of a sudden a strong supporter of President Trump, and he's catching a lot of heat from some places about it. So what was your reaction to the visit today and his little speech there in the Oval Office, Bob?
Well, you know, connections are something that are valued, and he and Donald Trump go way back. So to see them getting together and having a sit-down talk about issues is not surprising. What I think is quite illuminating, again, is the reaction that he is getting from the left because he dares talk to a Republican. To be consistent, I have always been wary of unelected leaders. As a black person, I have never been one to say that Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton speaks for me and is my leader. Unfortunately, the left thinks so little of black people that we are the only group in the United States that has visible unelected leaders. So when you have this whole thing now with Kanye West, rap star, the left loved him during the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina when he was doing the Red Cross telethon, and he said on the air that George W. Bush doesn't care about black people. Oh, the left loved him then. But now that he is now siding and talking, actually sitting down and talking to a Republican president, one that they incidentally hate, now Kanye West has got all the long knives out. And it's also a reflection of the dirty little secret. Now, I know Candace Owens came out and said basically something that I've said to you and other black conservatives have made going back. And I'm not saying he's necessarily a black conservative as we would compartmentalize him today. But going back to 1964, Malcolm X basically laid it out. The realities of the political process in this country. The whites are very evenly divided, pretty much down the middle. Now, what happens? What usually swings a presidential election one way or the other? It is the black vote. And that's why black people are always promised this, or there's scare tactics to scare black people into voting for Democrats. And now you have Kanye West, who can possibly put a fissure in this blue wave that all these media people are talking about is coming. It's an inevitability. We might as well not even have the midterm elections because the Democrats are going to take the House. They're going to take the Senate. But why all the panic? Why all the violence? Why all these crazy protests in front of the Capitol and the Supreme Court over the weekend and all this craziness going on around the country in Portland and all these other places where Democrats are just losing their minds and acting the fool very publicly? Why is all this happening? I personally don't, you know, I am not a prognosticator. I've said this to you many times before. Sure. If I could tell the future, I would be in Vegas right now betting on a Super Bowl ticket. But, you know, but the point is the way that the left is coming after Kanye West is because he is doing something that he is not supposed to do. He is speaking without permission. He is not authorized to be able to say things that they do not approve of prior to. And for him to go and talk to the President of the United States, whatever the specific issues are, he is creating a problem for the nonprofits that are making money off of these midterm elections, these politicians who they don't want to lose their seats. These seats are very lucrative to the politicians sitting in them, their staffs, the whole complex here in the D.C. area that relies on Democrats to give them their little handouts, their grants. And all that, all of this is all in possible upheaval because one black man is daring to speak without permission.
Right.
And that's what it comes down to.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And I know we've talked about it before, but you're exactly right. I mean, Kanye has sort of, he's decided to be on his own, and I guess he's not allowed to do that if you're black or African American in this country. Well, let's talk a little bit about the topic. We obviously went through the Kavanaugh situation where we saw an extremely good man, distinguished background, a man who's gone through 6 FBI investigations, and they're pretty complete. But yet, nevertheless, he was accused of something that happened 36 years ago. Couldn't prove anything. They couldn't prove anything, but in the minds of a significant number of Americans, he is now going to be the man who assaulted Professor Ford or Dr. Ford years ago. No evidence whatsoever, but that's the way it's gone down in many places. And this is a problem or our topic that hits you personally, or you have some experience on this, and I just thought maybe you could share with us whatever part of your story you want to share.
Well, thank you. And let me preface this by saying, first off, and we both know this from experience in observing news and political goings on, the left has this inability to debate. So normally what they will do is they will try to shut down opposition. And they try to find ways to make it so you can't rebut, you can't refute. And in this particular case, what they decided to do was to say that when it comes to sexual assault allegations, that you must believe women because women don't lie. I am not picking on women per se, but I don't think you could say that about any group in this country, maybe even because of current events, you can't even say that about priests, okay? People lie. And they lie for a variety of reasons. There are studies that show when it comes to false rape accusations, the two most distinguishable reasons why women will lie about it is one, to gain attention, and two, for an alibi. Those are the two main reasons. Even though they say that, false accusations are extremely rare. Okay, fine. Tell that to men who are in prison, young men who've lost scholarships or lost their places in college because of a false accusation that cannot be proved. You have kangaroo courts in colleges because of Title IX and that make sexual assault accusations extremely limited. In fact, my wife Laura told me that that recently they had to put a cap in colleges because so many women found that it was easy to make a false accusation and get your college tuition paid for the next 4 years. So we have this narrative that women don't lie. And I mentioned earlier that I lost my job in 2014. How I lost it, that's a whole other discussion, and I don't know if it's really appropriate for this venue. But the point is, I lost my job. Now, the thing is, if you remember MRC TV, it was extremely successful. Yeah, all of the other blogs, The Blaze, Breitbart, Daily Caller, Fox News, they were running our videos all the time when I was there, okay? So when I lost my job, I tried to assure Laura that, this is not a big deal. I know a lot of people in this town, and we'll get through this. And I think under normal circumstances, someone with my background, my experience, my achievements would have been scoffed up by somebody relatively quickly. But it's 4 years later, and we're still scraping by. We have gone through bouts of being homeless. I mean, our finances took a major hit. Our life took a major hit. And we really didn't know why. We were speculating on a variety of things. And then fairly recently, I applied for a job, and the comeback was that there was something there. And so in my background, and so I start thinking back, I'm trying to think what could possibly be a red flag. And it was at that point I told Laura about this incident when I was in my early 20s in Brookline, Massachusetts, when I was falsely accused of rape. And the Brookline police, they met up with me. They got my side of the story. I told them where I was when this rape supposedly happened. They went and they talked to witnesses who put me at a place totally different when this. So I had an alibi, ironclad. The Brookline Police Department, they were very professional, very nice detectives. They brought this victim, supposed victim, at a public venue where and asked her if she could identify the person who raped her. And she couldn't. She didn't point me out. And it turns out I found out from the Brookline police that I was 3 hours from being indicted by an overzealous female district attorney who really wanted this notch in her belt. I think she may even be a judge today. And 3 hours before I was to be indicted, the woman recanted. Now, what really is the tragic part of this is I went and I contacted the Brookline Police Department because I wanted to find out if this might have been what is the red flag that's coming up. I mean, I've applied for jobs with the Trump transition team. I've applied for jobs in the administration. I am eminently qualified for a variety of positions, and nothing comes back. So I contacted the town of Brookline, and they responded, and I had to appeal it. And even in the appeal, they told me they could not release any information regarding the case about my quote-unquote record. So they do have something there, but they can't let me know because it would violate the privacy of the victim. Now, here's the problem. She filed a false police report. She is not a victim. But according to Massachusetts law, they have her down as a victim. So everything surrounding that case, all of the casework, all the paperwork that the Brookline Police Department filed, whatever kind of paperwork the district attorney was compiling against me, I can't see. And yet this is still hanging over me because of a false rape accusation.
Right.
And the thing that really frustrates me the most, and I know it's a big deal now because it happened to Brett Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Brett Kavanaugh. But, you know, I've done a series of pieces over the years when bad things happen to journalists, when bad things mm-hmm. happen to politicians. Well, now you have something when bad things happen to a judge. How mm-hmm. many people are still in prison today because of false rape accusations? And you know something? It wasn't a big deal to them. But now it's a big deal because it happened to a judge, and people can relate to it now. It can
right.
happen to my son. It can happen to my husband. It can happen to my, you know, any
That's
of my
right.
male friends. And I get
That's
that.
Right.
But at the same time, you have this whole thing that women are to be believed. And when all they have to do is make especially looking at the colleges, where they have theatrics that go on during these mm-hmm. sexual assault tribunals where they will have a black curtain put mm-hmm. down the middle of the room because the victim would be traumatized to see her attacker. That wouldn't be allowed in any court in the United
right.
States.
That's right.
Okay?
No, you're
and
exactly
then you
right.
have and you have people who are presiding over these people. These people do not have any law or mm-hmm. law enforcement experience. You have librarians. You have fellow
right.
students. You have art professors. And
right.
these people are presiding over the future and putting a dent in somebody's record they have to live for the rest of their life.
Right. And
that
remember,
is so wrong.
No, you're exactly right. And I'm going to take a break in a minute, and then we'll continue on the other side. But you remember, that's close to you guys in Virginia, you remember what happened to those young men, the lacrosse players, who were accused.
Yes.
And thankfully, that case was thrown out, and the whole country was told about the whole travesty. But yet, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, if somebody goes on the Internet, that's going to be associated with their names, and that is completely, completely wrong. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with my friend Bob Parks in just a second. But right now, I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' website or his schedule right under the show description. So click on that, and you'll see where he's playing around town. He's a wonderful friend of our show. He's originally from Venezuela, and I love his music, and we feature his music on our program. Let's get back to our friend Bob Parks. Has just completed relating to us a very difficult story in his life, and this is something that I believe became very clear with the Kavanaugh accusation and the hypocrisy of many of these female Democrats who walk automatically and say, I believe her, but with respect to Keith Ellison up in Minnesota, nobody's marching saying we believe them. I'm not saying that Ellison is guilty. I really don't know. I like to see due process for him too, but I'm talking about the women who march saying that they believe her, but they don't believe all women, only women who accuse Republican men, it seems like. Well, Bob, let's get back to Bob. What are the options then? I mean, without getting too much into your personal options here, but what can a man do? I mean, I suppose you could sue in some states. You could sue the woman, as happened in Virginia for those four young men. But what are the options? I mean, are there some legal options that you have, Bob?
Well, you know, the thing that is frustrating about it is there is no direct recourse because, first of all, if you have a state that has a written rule, mm-hmm. a written law against filing a false police report, mm-hmm. and that is something that is selectively prosecuted, you have almost no choice but to have to sue the state and mm-hmm. then sue the municipality. And that, of course, it's like any time you sue a government mm-hmm. entity, they have rather deep pockets.
Sure.
And then you have to try to find a lawyer who lives in that area, has to deal
right.
with those judges. Do they want to incur the wrath of, you know, mm-hmm. basically spinning in their own pond? It is a complicated thing. And I think every situation is different. How we are going to deal with it, we're basically in uncharted waters ourselves, but
mm-hmm.
something has to be done. Laura just reminded me of the fact that there have been people who have been contacting me as
mm-hmm.
far as some job possibilities, and then as soon as I give a resume and wait to hear back, a lot of times it's radio silence.
Mm-hmm.
Because there seems to be something there. And a lot of the positions here in the D.C. area, Northern Virginia, anything that has to do with politics or the federal government, they can dig and they can
right,
find
sure.
things that you don't even know exist. I don't know if
I
you've
know.
Ever had an FBI
no,
background
I, I've
check.
No,
I mean,
I've never had an FBI background check done on me, but I've had some things where I know they talk to people I hadn't talked to in decades. You know, all of a sudden
exactly.
you get a call from a high school buddy who says, hey, I got a call from the FBI on you. What you up to? And I say, oh, nothing. I was just going to – I remember when the first President Bush came to Dallas in 1988 when he was running for president, at the time Vice President Bush, that I was a part of a group that got to take some pictures with him and you know, get close to him for a little bit of time. And also when President Reagan came to Dallas in 1984 for the convention – I was allowed to go into a room where he was at, and believe me, I mean, they took my driver's license information and they did a lot of research about me. I didn't mind. I thought that was part of the, you know, part of the, that's the way it is, as they say, but I didn't mind. But I know how complete they can be, and certainly in looking for a job these days, they can also check out a great deal about the person. But let me tie this in with Kavanaugh in this respect, Bob. Do you believe that this – now the fact that we've seen what was done to Brett Kavanaugh, do you believe that the territory is better for someone like you who was the victim of an accusation? Do you believe the territory is better than it was before, Bob?
Well, to avoid the, if I have to use the whole cliche thing about this is a teachable moment, this raised awareness, I think it's done that, because this was, even though this is real for me and real for literally probably hundreds of people around the country and a lot of people who are in jail right now, people who've had their lives torn apart, this was real for us, and now it is real for the nation. What it's also done, it has come at a very bad time, I think, for the Democrats, because now you have created a fissure, an overreach with this whole Kavanaugh protest and the movement that was going on behind the scenes and all the protesting. They have awoken a part of the electorate, maybe a lot of men who might not have voted, maybe a lot of women who might not have voted, have now seen that the whole due process, innocent until proven guilty, is now an option. It is all based on the whim of an accuser, whether and also depending on the political party. I mean, Kathleen Willey and Juanita Broderick, these are women who were not believed, and yet only because their attacker, their rapist, was a Democrat. Mm-hmm. And so this has become extremely partisan at a political overreach, bad time for the Democrat Party. And
I agree.
The time will tell, basically 2.5 weeks.
Right.
When we'll
find out. I think you're right.
That they overreach.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Bob, because I've heard from people who are not very political, who were offended by the whole idea. You know, everybody keeps talking about women, but some women have they have fathers, they have sons, they have husbands, they have brothers, they have grandfathers, whatever the case may be. And you're sitting there saying, this could happen to me. This could happen to my husband. This could happen to my son. I have 3 sons, okay? So, and, you know, I'm very sensitive to this topic because they're out in the professional fields. And you know, my gosh, you know, they could be attacked like this. So I do think this is bad timing for the Democrats because I think they overreached. There's no question in my mind that they overreached. Now, whether that means that the Republicans are going to keep the House, I think it's probably too early to tell yet. I still think the House is 50-50 at the moment. I do think, though, the evidence is suggesting that it's helping Republicans in red states, which means they're now very, very likely to hold on to the Senate. So that, to me, is very important as well, Bob.
Well, I think also one of the biggest ironies of this is the whole pushback against Kavanaugh was the potential for Roe v. Wade to be overturned somewhere down the road.
Sure.
Well, the biggest irony is that Roe versus Wade, Norma McCorvey, that was all based on a false rape accusation.
Mm.
If you think about it, millions of babies since then have died because of a false rape accusation. A lie.
Wow. Yes, that is extremely interesting. That's another element of this that I was not aware of until you mentioned it to me, but you're exactly right. Well, Bob, I want to wish you the very best. I know we only have so much time, but I want to wish you the very best on this. And if you ever want to do another show, let me know, because it's a topic that interests me, not just because you're my friend, but because I think there's an injustice here, and I hate injustice as much as anybody else does. But I want to thank you very much for your time, and my very best to you and Laura, and I hope we chat again very soon, Bob.
Well, we managed to chat when it comes to some really funky topics. Last time it was the NFL players kneeling,
yes,
and we got into fatherhood and all kinds of interesting stuff. So yes, I can hardly wait to see what our next topic will be.
Well, I tell you what, I hope it's the Red Sox winning the World Series. How's that?
Well, and aren't you down in? Wait a minute now. Are
well, that's
you
Houston.
Not a
that's Houston.
Houston?
Yeah, that's Houston who's going to play the Red Sox. We're the Rangers who this year, for the last couple of years, have not done well. But the Rangers did well for a while, but now it's the Astros who are doing great. They're playing the Red Sox on Friday or Saturday, so I'm going to watch that very carefully.
Oh, so you're not voting for your home state boys?
No, I'll go for – I just think the Red Sox is such a part of baseball history that a Red Sox-Dodgers World Series would be a dream for television.
Well, you know the networks would – well, it was either that – I mean, they would also love Yankees and Dodgers as well, get the both.
Well, sure, but that's not going to happen this year, but you're right. That's right. But a Milwaukee-Houston World Series, as much as I love those two towns, because when we first came to the United States, we lived in Milwaukee. So as much as I love Milwaukee and as much as I love Houston, I'm pretty sure that the network executives are rooting for L.A. and Boston, because those are two teams who are really national. I mean, the Red Sox are really very much of a national team. When they come into town, there's 10,000 Red Sox fans at the stadium. It's amazing, this thing called Red Sox Nation. It travels with them everywhere they go, Bob.
Well, you know who's going to, if it is a Red Sox-Dodgers World Series, you know who's going to hate it?
Let's see.
The players.
Because of the travel?
Those bi-coastal flights?
Yes. That makes a big difference. You're right. Thank God for the day off, but you're right. Yeah, those going back and forth, those time zones, that can be a big problem. You're right. But they'll survive. I mean, you know, they're professionals.
Oh, yeah.
They'll survive. It's happened before. We've had one coast versus the other before. But Bob, have a wonderful day, and let's talk again soon, please.
Thanks, Sylvia. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. My good friend Bob Parks, who shared with us today an amazing story, his own story, about all of this. And I think for me personally, it really comes down to due process. Nobody is stronger at defending women against sexual assault or sexual violence. I grew up in a family where we were taught to respect women, and that's the way my sons were raised, and that's the way I was raised. And, of course, when a woman has a problem like that, we want the woman to talk. We want the woman to come out and talk. But what happened with Kavanaugh is not that. What happened with Kavanaugh, he was accused of something nobody could prove 36 years ago. And nevertheless, even though there's no proof, there's no evidence, you have a significant number of people who are calling him a gang rapist, a sexual assaulter. And that's going to be a part of his life forever, even though he didn't do anything. That's what we're talking about, due process and respect for evidence. And somehow that got lost here in the last couple of weeks with Judge Kavanaugh. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Again, thanks to my friend Bob Parks, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.